Today we dive deeper into the outer planes and begin our journey through them. We're going to start with Mount Celestia, which is the Dungeons and Dragons equivalent to basically a heavenly body. Lawful good in alignment, the Mount Celestia is where many of those types of characters find themselves upon their final death. Welcome back to the Game Masters Academy. This is the show where we strive to help you make every one of your sessions great. Thanks for joining me. My name is Greg. As we continue through the outer planes, additional research has to be done on my part. Comparatively, I have spent very little time there. So I guess I just wanted to preface this with I do not want to come off as an expert on these particular areas. I am learning just along with everybody else. I also want to stop real quick and take a moment to talk about Describe. Describe is the Ennies award-winning website that specializes in flavor text, ambiances, sounds, music, all of the things to increase the immersion for your gameplay. It goes great with any sort of tabletop game setup, and they just released this new feature called Opus, which allows for seamless Discord integration for the musics, so that way you can easily set the atmosphere around your game table utilizing Opus and the additional files that are available through the sound library. If you have not checked out Describe yet, grab the link in the description for the episode, that's Describe.com/GMA, and that'll let them know that I sent you, but it gives you an opportunity to kind of go through, look at everything. There are tons of free features that are available for you, and if you do decide that you want to sign up for the Sonic Library or any of the other premium services, using coupon code GMA at checkout will help you get a 10% discount on that first purchase for you. Again, if you have not had a chance to look through it, I strongly recommend it. I've talked about it so many times on the podcast, but it's a great resource to really increase that immersion for your tabletop game. All right, let's get into Mount Celestia. As we look at Mount Celestia, it is consisted of 7 infinite layers, and each one of those layers forms basically a mountain. And so whenever you approach Mount Celestia, you appear at the lowest level, basically in the waters at the base of the mountain. You climb up out of the surf, climb the mountain that's there, and at the tip of that mountain is the entrance to the next layer, where you start in the water again and climb the next mountain. And so in ascending order, the names for the different layers within Mount Celestia are Lunia, Mercuria, Venia, Solania, Mercian, Jovar, and Cronius. And that is the layers of that, Cronius being the very tip of Mount Celestia's plane and the highest pinnacle within it. Bahamut's palace is in the first layer of Lunia, where you would start. So if you are just getting to Mount Celestia, you are going to appear within Lunia. As we arrive in Mount Celestia and look around, we would see a few different things. In a ring around the Great Mountain were 3 smaller mountains, and those smaller peaks were Martyrdom, True Heart, and the Court. And those were the domains of Torm, Illmater, and Tyr, respectively. When we land in Lunia, we are going to be landing in an area that's near the peaceable kingdoms of Arcadia and the twin paradises of Bytopia. Travel between those is relatively possible. Obviously, you have to meet certain requirements, but this particular area is where the Silver Sea is going to meet the mountain. And that Silver Sea is actually, obviously, has a silver glow to it, but those pools, the water that's there, is actually an entire endless, infinite ocean of holy water. And within, you'll find celestial whales, sea elves, other aquatic beings that exist within Lunia. As we continue to travel and climb the mountain, we reach the second layer, which is Mercuria. It's known as the Golden Haven because it's got a warm golden light that is suffused through everywhere, and it's contained the armory for the noblest warriors who come here for their eternal rest. Gentle hills, lush green valleys, dotted with settlements of archons and other good-aligned celestials. Bahamut's jeweled palace moved about the first four layers of Celestia, made entirely from Bahamut's enormous treasure hoard, and its walls were made of mithril, windows composed of gemstones and other precious jewels, and obviously there's other great worms that are there helping Bahamut guard the treasure. So if your party's really dumb, maybe they want to try and break in and steal stuff. But most likely you're going to Bahamut to speak with him yourself and probably not pulling off a heist. Again, the same idea as we arrive in the waters around the Mount Mercuria, then we are going to climb the mountain, and at the pinnacle we hit the gateway to the next one, which is Venya. It's described as the third heaven, pearly heaven, the heaven of pearls, and it's filled with crops, meadows, moors, similar to that of before. The sky is going to, you know, lean into this whole pearl idea and has the luster of white pearls. A little bit colder. The idea behind it, I don't know if we're going to be cooling down on every single level, but obviously we are climbing a proverbial ginormous mountain. So the halfling pantheon made its home in Venya, in the realm of green fields. And so you'll find many halfling inhabitants that are there tending their crops, growing mushrooms, all the stuff that the small folk do. We continue on and we get to Solania. That's the fourth layer. And it had a sky that glowed like burnished silver, and it was called the Electrum Heaven. This particular layer of the plane had a lot of holy shrines and monasteries, large cathedrals. Many of the slopes were filled with precious ores and minerals and mined by the populations that would mine those, dwarves and all the variations that there are. Lots of pilgrims came to this particular area, hopes of finding answers to life's persistent questions as they seek out those monasteries and other cathedrals, looking for the wisdom that could be found within. There is a vast dwarven mansion called Arachnor, and that was located within the slopes of Solania, where Moradin made his domain. That's the location for the giant soul forges, and within Ouroboros, which is the Gates of Wisdom, the airborne realm of Jazirion, of the Quattal, I'm probably pronouncing all those wrong, floated above the mountainside of Solania. And you know, as we get deeper and deeper into this, you can kind of get an idea here that as we hit certain layers, the peaceful races are going to find their versions of heaven. So you've got halflings that are in rolling green hills that they can basically turn into the Shire from Lord of the Rings. The next is going to be mountains with monasteries and cathedrals filled with ore and precious gems for the dwarves. And there's this idea of this happy resting place for all of these different types of races. Next is Mertion? I don't know. Sky is relatively the same, but it's considered the Platinum Heaven. Plains and savannas served as the mustering ground for paladins and other lawful good servants. Instead of mountains, it has citadels and huge black spherical domes dotting the plains. The city of Imperia, also known as the City of Tempered Souls,
is on the edge of the cold mountain lake. Has magical fountains with healing properties, lots and lots of healers and expert physicians, basically, for the time. And this sounds like the exact location that you would send the party to cure some otherwise incurable disease. And also, as they go through that journey to achieve this particular layer of Mount Celestia, Mertian, temper their souls as well. You know, especially when you look at an individual that may not be of the best alignment, they're going to be in this particular area. And as we talked about in the overview, when you are of an opposite alignment of an outer plane, you feel at basically uneasy and are unable to completely relax. But it might not be a bad idea to send part of the party there and allow them to experience the just tranquil beauty and majesty of these peaceful outer plane resting places for souls. I can see how that would be a compelling story arc. The sixth layer is Jovar. Is known as the Glittering Heaven, Heaven of Gems. The hills were studded with gemstones, and the layer was vault-lined floor, ceiling with huge rubies and garnets that gave off a glow like a hearth fire. Has a ginormous ziggurat that was home of the Jovarian Archons and guarded the seventh heaven.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
On the seventh level of Jovar, there is this giant ziggurat that we're talking about and has large staircases, each face connecting the terraces of each layer. And the stones that made up the city were the precious gemstones like I was talking about. And at the very tip-top was a bridge of Al-Shahal, which I'm probably saying wrong as well. But it's basically a bridge of pure light. And that's where the portal to the top layer of Celestia was, Cronius. And it was guarded by a solar named Zerona. And it was basically, they judged all who were to try and enter. Solar is an extremely high-level celestial, and so it would make sense that the uppermost or the pinnacle of Mount Celestia would be guarded by someone that would just basically weigh whether or not you were just enough to enter. Topmost layer is Cronius, and it was called the Illuminated Heaven. There's not a whole lot that's ever been there, and that's because when people visit, very few of them return. And it's supposed to have glowed, had all evil and neutrality burned out, anybody who entered. And if that leaves you inherently good, and you survived, you probably aren't really going to want to leave as you have reached this pinnacle of that alignment or that style of life. It's thought to be the ultimate goal of the inhabitants of Celestia would be able to ascend all of the layers and make it there. And upon entering there, you would actually join the essence. You would join with the essence of the plane itself and allow yourself to basically become one with Mount Celestia, which would explain why most people that have made it to the top level have never returned. And one of the nice things about that idea is it presents us with a blank slate. We have this open, there's not really a specifically established location here. And so we have the playground here, the sandbox, as we call it, to
create and play and create our own little areas here or reasons why we need to go here. As long as we remember that if you spend any time there, neutrality and evil are literally burned out of your being. As you become lawful good, you become in harmony with the plane itself and want to merge with it. So it can be a little tricky considering you probably aren't going to want to leave once you've achieved Cronius. So that's the seven layers. We want to talk a little bit about some of the individuals or creatures that are here. Archons, planetars, all of the good aligned celestials are here. And then obviously we have the afterlife as well. And the, what's the right way of putting it? All of the denizens that are there, the halflings, the dwarves, there could be some that are alive, but most of them are the resting place of those particular races. And so you're going to be dealing with individuals that have lived their life, and then this was their reward for a life well lived. Next, let's look at the peaceable kingdoms of Arcadia. It's connected to the Seven Heavens, which we just talked about, and then also Nirvana and the Concordant Opposition by portals made of either white ivory or black steel. One of the things that's kind of interesting here is there's three infinite layers of Arcadia, but the other two layers, there's very, very little known about them. So you basically land in Arcadia on Abellio, and then the other layers are kind of just mysterious and we don't really know. Endless stretch of orderly plains dotted with a few mountains and hills. It contains the divine realms of Clangadin Silverbeard and Marduk. So the second realm that they talk about was Buxtenis, and that is the second layer basically of Arcadia. And then beyond that, there's not a whole lot. It's one of those, I don't want to say great mysteries, but there's a lot of unexplored space here. Before the Spell Plague, this was the home of Dwarmerheart and Dwarf Home and things along those lines. And some of those places survived and became other things. The House of Triad became Celestia, that type of thing. But the Dwarmerheart was destroyed at the start of the Spell Plague. There's all sorts of crazy stuff that goes on during that. I'm sure we can get into that at some point, but the divine realms of Azoth and Savris, as well as Heliopolis, and the shared divine realms of Horus, Re, Isis, Osiris, and Ra, all of these different pantheons are within Buxtenis, which is that second layer of Arcadia. It's one of the interesting things is there's basically a giant ball, almost think of like the Eye of Sauron, but it's a giant ball that sits at the very top of the mountain within Arcadia, and it spins. And one side illuminates, and the other side is darkness. And so as it sits there spinning, that's how you get your day-night intervals. But that means you literally go from nighttime to noon to the same level of brightness at midnight, and back and forth. So there's no twilight. There's none of this in between. It is either day or night. And you have very little variation between those two as this orb of day and night spins at the top of the mountain. Within, many creatures, woodland creatures basically, are within the mountains, hills, and forests of Arcadia. And they resemble prime material creatures except for their coloring, which is metallic, and their eyes, which are white without iris or pupil, which honestly sounds super creepy. But you have copper-colored rabbits, golden foxes, sheep with silver wool, and organized hive-dwelling insects such as ants, bees, and wasps. None of the animals could speak, but all were peaceful in nature and native to the outer planes, so they were unaffected by magics that usually worked on prime material creatures. So you're not going to be able to cast Speak with Animals or Beast Sense or anything along those lines because they're not technically beasts. Their eyes allowed them to see through illusion, and the more intelligent animals could be trained into superb watch creatures, which would make sense. The primary inhabitants of Arcadia are going to be the souls of good and lawful warriors, similar to their evil counterparts in Acheron, as well as other sentient creatures, things like Holophants and Planetars, food creatures, a diva every once in a while. And then you've got some of the like lesser Yamasu and Kairin as well. Lots of different realms here, so there's not a lot of layers within the plane, but there's a lot of different like little areas. Azuth, the High One, is patron of magic users, has a realm. Clangadin Silverbeard is the Dwarven Father of Battle. Marduk the Valiant is also here, as well as some of the Mulhorandi deities, which are very similar to Egyptian-named and Egyptian deities. So they all have their realms within Arcadia, but are they're all, generally speaking, on that first plane, the first layer, I should say, and then which is Abellio. And every once in a while, you'll get some that end up being on that second one. And then the third layer, there's not a lot of recorded history about what happens there. Again, it's another great opportunity for us to have a blank slate and utilize that blank slate to be able to add additional things. But I always hesitate, and this would be the word of caution if you're a game master and you're planning something to one of the realms. If there's no history there, that's a double-edged sword, because it means two things. One, it's left blank, probably partly on purpose to give us the opportunity to create. But it's also left blank, and we should respect the idea that there's probably not a lot of people that go there and come back. And so if we're going to create something there, we've got to have a really good reason why not only did we go all the way there, but then the players still wanted to come back. Well, the players probably wanted to come back, but the characters would still want to come back. You know, especially if you've got a lawful, neutral, but slightly more good-aligned character, like a paladin or a fighter that is a soldier. You know, things along those lines, like these types of spaces are going to call to those characters and beckon them to stay and basically live the rest of their days here. And so fighting that pull is not going to be easy for them. And so we need to make sure that we're careful with how much we send them to these places where they could technically, I don't want to say be trapped, but almost trap themselves. So that is a look at the peaceful lands of Arcadia and the Mount Celestia overview. So, you know, we talk a lot of times here about making sure that we create a story together. And I think going to these planes, these are basically heaven for a lot of the characters that we're going to be running games for. And I think that we need to have this be a little bit of a bigger or a more impactful event and moment for them than just say, hey, we're going to this plane. You're basically going to what the end result is for a character's arc and or progression, which means that they're much more likely to want to stay and find that tranquil peace and rest that is basically being shown to them. And so it's a word of caution that we're careful with this and we put the right level of emphasis on it. Obviously, if a character isn't lawful neutral, then it's not going to have that same pull to them. And so you might decide if you're going to send them to one of these outer planes that we send them to one of the planes where the alignment doesn't match the characters. So if everybody is lawful good in the party, you send them to Acheron, which is lawful evil. And it's basically an endless battlefield. And you have all those different types of ideas. So just that's the word of caution, is be careful sending your players to the place that their characters wouldn't want to leave. Because once you're there and the character's there, if the person is really good at their roleplay and decides that, you know, I'm already here, why would I want to leave?
I've been allowed in to the highest levels of Mount Celestia. I've been, I'm living within the peaceable kingdoms of Arcadia. Why? I mean, this is supposed to be the reward. Why would I want to go back? And so we need to make sure we have a decent way to either have that character have a reason to come back, or we go to a different plane than what the alignment matches to. There's a lot of different ways that we can make that work. We just need to make sure we're being conscious of it. All right, well, that's it for this week's overview of the planes, Celestia, and the peaceable kingdoms of Arcadia. I thank each and every one of you for following me along on this journey, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your week. I hope you are able to send your party to some of these reaches and far reaches and really create some amazing stories. I hope you guys have a great one, and as always, let's let the dice decide.